I'd see him sitting on that couch all day long, just staring at that Hollywood hogwash.
Our favorite show was Hollywood Hogwash.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hollywood Hogwash. I'm Andrew Pisano, along with Aaron Rosa, and is that... Wait, who's that...
Who are you?
Who's that guy over there?
Who's that guy? It's me!
Is that...
Josh!
Josh Reese?
Yeah, I'm back.
Hey, Quiet. Josh. Hey, Josh.
Where the hell have you been?
I have been avoiding horror movies like it is a plague.
Horror movies? Plague? Yeah. But there are horrors in Total Recall.
It was very scary at times. And as you saw in today's movie, I did have to close my eyes at a few points.
Yeah, he really fucking did. That's not a joke.
Krang was like way too much for me. I was
There's
like,
no
I can't
Krang. His name's Quado, you idiot.
Quado, Krang.
Krang?
Whatever. Okay.
This isn't Loki, bitch.
Okay, look, before we get into all this, I need to address something.
Yeah.
This last week, we did a Patreon episode of Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Eric Slamilton Hamilton step in.
Yeah.
Because sure. No one else was available.
Uh-huh.
And I've got to say, Josh... He didn't burp in my face. He didn't show up in a wife beater. He knows how to spell xylophone.
No, he doesn't.
It was fantastic.
Does he really know how to spell xylophone?
Josh, you need to step your game up, buddy.
No.
No, he didn't squat.
No.
He didn't squat.
Aaron, you've known me long enough now. This is the Josh you get every single day.
He didn't say motherfucker 57 times.
No. I've only said motherfucker 5 or 6 times today. And only twice to my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's smart. It's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Better step your game up, buddy.
Oh, my God. But yeah, we did a few horror movies, and Josh was too scared.
Way too scared.
He shit his pants just at the thought of watching these movies.
Andrew would send me the trailer every week, and I'd be like, nope.
Even Army of Darkness, which was an adventure comedy.
No.
I mean, like, just skeletons scare you.
No.
Like, the skeleton I had outside of my house...
I told you, I saw that one day and I drove away. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, too much.
Good
too
God. Much. Well, yeah, we decided to do a classic Arnold Schwarzenegger film. And like, really, we haven't done enough Arnold movies on this podcast.
We haven't.
You know, shame on us. I know we've done Jingle All the Way. Was that the only Arnold movie we've done so far?
That was the name. Okay. There you go.
Well, that actually makes me excited that we haven't done...
I know.
That we haven't already done them. They're all
I mean, think about that. We've got both Terminator movies, like Commando, Predator...
Eraser.
Eraser's not one of the better ones.
That's a good one.
True Lies.
Wait. So y'all guys are telling me this is the month of Arnold?
I don't know about that. I don't know about, like, just doing Arnold movies for a whole month. But, you know, you got to spread them out a little bit.
You could go pretty far. There's a lot of Arnold movies.
It's true.
You got to savor it, Josh.
But,
savor
yeah, you got to spread it out a little bit, you know, see what the fans want. But, yeah, we decided to do Total Recall, just looking at... Josh sent me a list of, like, the top 10 rated Arnold movies just as an idea. And I saw Total Recall there, and I was like, man, it's been a while.
Dude,
it's been, like, 2 or 3 weeks since I've watched Total Recall. No, that was a joke, but I have seen the movie a lot, and I love this movie.
We've got chicks with 3 tits. We have little people with machine guns.
We've got people trying to make money for their 5 children. I mean,
but
it's
not
got
really.
Everything.
Yes, it does. It's like I'm starting to think, like, this really is one of my favorite movies, like, ever. Like, every scene is great. Every single scene is a great scene in this movie, even if it is ridiculous. But, I mean, it's supposed to be ridiculous. It's the whole point of the movie.
We were talking about this earlier. This was right in the middle of Arnold's just white, hot, successful run.
Yeah.
And this, you could make the argument this is his best movie.
Right.
It was right at his peak.
I first saw this in high school. Again, me and my friends would, you know, we like to watch, we love Arnold movies. And I mean, this one, you're just laughing the whole time because of how insane it is and comedic it is.
Sure.
But no, it was, I saw this in high school. And then a couple years ago, we had a graduation party for one of our friends. And it was at, like, you know, his parents' old house. And then, like, we're just, like, hanging out. We're surfing through channels, and Total Recall comes on. So we start watching it, And or I guess we chose it from like a streaming service. And then the woman with the three tits is there. And like one of our friend's mother, you know, like our one of our my friend's mother's friend walks in the room and she's like, "What are you guys watching?" And I'm like, "I promise it's not porn." So that was a fun little memory.
Is this one of the rare movies where there's a triple cross? And Arnold triple crosses himself? He double crosses himself originally. And then at the end, he crosses himself again.
I don't know about that.
There's definitely some twists and turns.
Yeah. But anyways, we're going to review it in full detail later in the show. But also, we're also doing season two of Loki on the Hollywood Hogwash Patreon. Two episodes left to watch. And, you know, that episode four sure ended with a cliffhanger.
Oh, boy.
It was really good. Are you caught up, Josh?
Yes.
Did you watch episode five already?
I really wanted to, but I'm trying to pace myself.
All right, yeah. I haven't watched it yet either, but...
Me neither.
I mean, like, as soon as I finished episode four, I was like, I kind of need to know what's happening in episode five.
Right, same here, yeah. I really want to watch it.
It's just a blank screen for 50 minutes.
I'll probably try and watch it tomorrow, I think.
Yeah. So go to patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash and watch Loki with us.
Oh, we're also working towards a bracket.
Brackets are in the works. Yes. Yes, they are. We got Invincible that is starting up.
Yes.
And then something else that's coming out in January that we're going to talk about in a few minutes.
Ooh.
But all right, let's get to it. Let's get to the news and rumors, a.k.a. the Hollywood Hogwash. So Variety reports Marvel Studios have had talks to bring back the original gang for an Avengers movie.
Oh, boy.
That means bringing back Robert De Niro as Iron Man. Chris Evans is Captain America.
Robert De Niro is Iron Man? I would love to see that.
That's Robert Downey Jr.
That's an amazing variant.
God damn it. Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. Christopher Reeves is Captain... God damn it!
Oh, I don't
Chris
think
Evans is Captain America, and then Jenna Jameson is Black Widow. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Isn't Christopher Reeves a Skrull? He's a Skrull, right?
He might be.
So
Scarlett Johansson is Black Widow. Yeah.
Marvel has no idea what people want, right?
No. Clearly not.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, look, you can bring them back. Okay, let's forget about the fact that you would ruin what happened in Infinity War and Endgame.
Did it mean
forget
nothing?
Forget all that. Fine. Forget all that. But like, just because you bring that back doesn't mean that the movie's going to be good. If you have the same fucking writers that have been writing the last few movies and the same directors making the last few shitty movies and series, it's not going to be good.
Right.
Right. But devil's advocate, at least they're recognizing this isn't working and we need to do something different.
So let's bring back the original crew. No, you finished that story. Just tell a better story. Tell a new, better story. Just do the comics. That's it. Do the comics.
They are doing the comics.
Very poorly.
Well, yeah.
As we mentioned during Secret Invasion, they told the writer not to watch the comics or not to read the comics.
Right, because it was going to be enough. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's, I just don't understand. Yeah. One of the quotes that I saw in the Variety story was like, Marvel is truly fucked up with a whole Kang angle. Says one top deal maker who's seen the final Loki episode.
So, oh, no.
Yes.
Well, that's not good. That makes me worried for Loki.
Yes.
Ah, shit.
So, like, there's so much. I don't understand what Marvel's doing.
You know, it's funny. Like, I've mentioned this before, but, you know, we've been doing a wrestling podcast for 9 years now. And we constantly make fun of the dirt sheets that report on wrestling. And sometimes they're right. Most of the time, they're horribly wrong. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. This also exists with, like, Marvel. There are dirt sheet reporters on Twitter that claim they have insider information. And they have so many fans. Or they have so many followers that follow them. Some Twitter account reported that Robert Downey Jr. has already agreed to come back. But I'm sorry.
You fucking mark!
Yeah. There's an actor strike going on right now.
Right.
You can't agree to anything.
Yeah.
Just within this week, I saw different Twitter accounts that said, The Scarlet Witch is dead in this universe.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no. Another Twitter account was like, no, the Scarlet Witch is still alive.
Sure.
Like, it just... Nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, could Robert Downey Jr. come back? Absolutely, he could. That doesn't mean that this fucking Twitter account is correct, though. There's an actor strike going on. You can't sign any contracts right now. That's what, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So no, he has not agreed to come back.
Yeah, I just...
I don't know that he would, because I really feel like he... I feel like Robert Downey Jr. knows, like... You know, he sacrificed himself in Endgame. If he comes back after that, it makes that all for not, you know what I mean? It hurts that story.
Right. He finished.
And don't get me wrong, I'd be the first one to be like, oh my God, he's back. You know, I'd be excited for it, but I just don't know that he would do that. I could see Chris Evans doing it because Chris Evans doesn't really have a career outside of Captain America.
Yeah.
What else have you seen him in?
Nothing.
Like, really nothing.
No.
Like a couple of small roles, but that's it. And Scarlett Johansson, really, I mean, we haven't really seen her in much since the Black Widow movie.
I think this story, this variety story has come out in advance of the Marvels movie because they know how bad this Marvels movie is going to be. Oh,
we could talk about that too.
Let's get into
that. I think we should.
You have it there, read it.
I've got a few things.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but I mean, but they just brought up the Ms. Marvel thing.
Right, yeah.
It has like the worst pre-sales. Like, worse than The Flash?
It's currently tracking with the pre-sales behind Black Adam and The Flash, which both did not do well.
No.
Right.
So this is tracking behind those. It's going to be a
huge, huge flop.
They keep on putting out these trailers like, get hyped for Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Here's 2 minutes. And like, no, you've done a great job of telling me not to watch this
movie.
They're
putting more of the movie out. It's like you're just hurting yourself even more.
Right.
There was one scene that like Josh tweeted, he replied to the tweet, and then I watched the scene. I was like, that was supposed to be a comedy scene.
Right.
And it wasn't funny at all.
Yeah.
So apparently during Monday Night Football today, that they're going to have the final trailer during the Jets game at halftime.
Oh, more God. Footage?
Like 2 minutes.
So that could be a shitty game with shitty commercials?
Yes.
Not going to help.
So like, I don't know what cut they're going to use, but I doubt it's going to be any better than anything else
I've
seen.
They're going to have to like CGI like Spider-Man in there. Like, hey, just throw Spider-Man in there. Just show him swinging around. And then people will go.
That's right.
You know? Variety also reports that Marvel has discussed moving focus away from Jonathan Majors as Kang due to his recent allegations. One plan they're looking at is pivoting to Doctor Doom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be
like
all for
we
that.
Said they need to,
but yeah. I'm afraid of how Marvel can do anything at the moment. So
we'll see what happens at the end of Loki. I imagine the end of Loki though is like they're all coming. You know
right,
what I mean?
Which, yeah.
To be honest, I thought that was what. You know, the open of season two was going to be, but we'll see.
Wasn't Dr. Doom supposed to be Howard Stern?
No. I mean, that was weird.
In Dr.
Yeah, he wasn't going to be Dr. Doom, but like, there was this weird thing like a year ago.
Right.
Where during a commercial break, his mic got hot and he was like telling Gary Delabate that he was doing the Dr. Doom movie, but the schedule, it feels like the whole thing was a weird setup.
But just to keep the Marvel buzz out
there. What the fuck would
there?
Howard Stern do? He would just be himself in the movie. Was he going to be interviewing Dr. Doom?
Yeah, interviewing Dr. Doom.
That was such a weird thing.
Variety, strange.
They came... I mean, all of these stories were broken by Variety, but Variety also said that Mahershala Ali considered leaving Blade due to script issues. Apparently, in one of the script versions, Blade was reportedly relegated to the fourth lead of the movie. Meaning, like, you know, they're probably throwing in some other Avengers in there just to be like, hey, look.
And that's not even the worst part.
So, in the Blade movie, he was going to be the backup character?
Yeah, pretty much.
He was relegated to the fourth lead. And what's worse is it said the story at one point reportedly morphed into a narrative led by women and filled with life lessons.
Oh, dear God.
Jesus.
That
sounds like an amazing Blade movie.
Yeah. Wow.
An amazing
Blade
movie.
You know, a
movie
about killing vampires.
Right. Wow.
What's the life lesson?
At least Kevin Feige's finally stepped in and said, enough of the horse shit. We tried to go woke. We're going broke. And now we got to, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They said since Kevin Feige has hired Logan writer Michael Green to work on a new script, and the film will move forward with a budget of less than $100 million.
Very nice. Very
like to
nice.
See a little more budget for Mahershala Ali playing Blade, but
still, if you do it right, you can make a good movie with $100
million. Yeah. Sure.
And a Logan writer. I mean, I'll take that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. Also, Variety reported that She-Hulk's budget for the first season was $225. No, oh, I'm sorry. $225 million.
If you said 100,000, I still might have laughed.
Yeah. Where did the money go? Did Mark Ruffalo, was he paid $224 million?
Yep.
Right. I mean, really, when you watch the show, does it feel like it cost $225 million or $225?
Right. Jesus. Well, it's crazy because you just said that the Blade movie is going to have a budget of less than $100 million, and yet that joke fest that you just talked about had a budget of almost $300 million.
Right.
It's just,
but again, that's because Marvel and Disney, they're scared now because they're losing so much. They're going to lose so much money on the Marvels.
Right.
You know, like they're losing money on these films. So now they have to have a lower budget.
Well, there's just like,
which means like really you can make a more grounded film. You know, it's not like you need Blade to be saving the world. Not every superhero movie needs to be them saving the world.
But sometimes you don't have to release these movies. Just eat it.
Like DC. Batgirl.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I actually kind of wanted to see that movie because it had Michael Keaton in it.
Right.
And also Brendan Fraser. But like, you know, DC was like, apparently it was a terrible movie. So like, we're just going to eat it. We don't need this bad press.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the trailers for that?
You know, what's really interesting is I remember reading this article like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago or something. And it was during the boom of the Marvel movies just all hitting one after the other. And it was saying, you know, every one of these movies, $200 million, $250 million for these budgets, if they flop on just one or two of these, that's going to turn the studio around real fucking fast. And it could go really south really fast.
Very quickly.
It is. It is.
And they're seeing that now.
Yeah, for sure. There's also another hot rumor that the two leads, we talked about this on the Loki podcast, but hot rumor that the two leads for Avengers Secret Wars will be Tobey Maguire and Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman's not doing anything else but the Deadpool 3.
Why?
I don't believe that.
Why, Josh? Why would he?
Because he's refused.
Why is two movies weren't like,
he's refused to do anything for so long until Ryan Reynolds dragged him into it. I have a hard time believing he's going to do something else.
I mean, don't talk like you know Hugh Jackman.
I just
that's
have a
weird thing.
I have a hard.
Although I did that with Robert Downey Jr.
Sources,
but still,
sources. Close to Josh.
So is this movie just going to turn into Multiverse of Madness, where there's just a million rumors flying around about who all is going to be in it?
I mean, yeah,
probably
for sure. But this is like the Kang Dynasty one. As of right now, is the one that is scheduled to be first. Then Secret Wars. I think Secret Wars is like currently slated for 2026.
Not if they kill off Kang.
Right. They could. That's true. They could. If they kill off Kang, maybe they swap it, and then it's Secret Wars first. And
there
then
we go.
Maybe Doctor Doom.
The season finale of Loki. Doctor Doom comes in and just murders Kang, and then bam, we're off to the races.
Yeah, it's just that easy. Yeah. Is there any other Marvel stuff? Because I'd like to talk about that first before we move on. We're going to do the Echo trailer in a minute here, but
I think I've got everything. The only other thing I thought that was interesting was like during, I guess, the halfway point of the Marvels movie, the director quit.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that's right.
So I was like, you know, there's some bad signs. You probably should, you know, you should evaluate things at that point. And apparently had a lot of reshoots and stuff like that. Just like every Marvel
that's right.
Movie.
During the middle of post, she just took off and people were commenting. That's a little weird for
just a
$250 million movie to just bail in the middle of post.
Absolutely. All right. Should we watch this Echo trailer?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I'm hyped.
So here's the thing. Like, I remember like months ago, like Josh said on the podcast, he found some article that said Echo is reportedly going to be worse than She-Hulk.
And losing an episode.
And it did lose an episode. So that's true.
Right.
Because it's only going to be 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. But I watched this trailer. Aaron watched this trailer. Mm-hmm. And holy shit, it looks awesome. And Josh hasn't seen the trailer yet.
No.
So he's about to see just how awesome this shit is. And we haven't even done like a you know, like we haven't watched a trailer on the show in a while, but this was worth it, man.
Well, I'm excited because I remember Echo from Hawkeye. And,
from Hawkeye.
And I wasn't very impressed.
No. This gives me hope, though.
Okay.
Maya.
Oh.
I see everything that you are.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a Hawaiian shirt.
No, he does not.
I always have.
Oh, shit.
That's the kingpin.
Oh, shit.
Jesus. Fuck him up.
Jesus.
Yeah!
Wait!
That's the man we fucking knew.
This is Disney.
That's Vincent D'Onofrio's kingpin.
Don't be afraid.
You and is this a fan movie?
Right.
Are the same. So? Who's the monster?
Holy shit.
Dude.
I mean...
What? What is happening?
I mean, for God's sakes, How the fuck
is this the same studio that made She-Hulk?
That is either the best cut trailer from a shitty show in history.
How can this be bad?
Or this show is going to be really good.
How can it be bad?
It can't.
That's Netflix.
How could it be?
That's Daredevil.
That is Netflix.
Fucking Daredevil.
That is just like the Netflix Marvel shows.
I am so excited.
I know. Wilson Fisk is back. He took off the Hawaiian shirt. He put on the white suit. In that opening scene where he just sees her getting made fun of. And Vincent D'Onofrio is such an amazing actor. But you see his face. He wants to cry. But he's also like, he's walking to the guy wanting to cry. But also like, I'm about to murder this motherfucker.
Yes. Right?
And you're like, oh my God.
Wow, I had no idea what I was going to see.
I know.
And I am blown away. Echo is like a CD-list type character in the Marvel Universe.
I was not, when I first saw that pop up on my YouTube feed, I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch it.
I literally was like, here we go.
I was not prepared at all.
No.
Wow.
Yes.
And like it's Kingpin with the eye patch because she shot him in the eye at the end of Hawkeye. Fucking brilliant.
I don't know how we got here.
Who's the monster?
But I mean, like, that gives me hope for Marvel.
Oh my God. It gives me hope for Daredevil. They showed Daredevil's in the trailer, and his fucking costume wasn't ketchup and mustard like on She-Hulk. It was the red costume from the Netflix show.
I'm really curious to see
what
they do with her, because in the comics, she's basically Taskmaster, where she can just copy everybody's moves. But they've said that's not going to be what she is in this.
Yeah.
So I'm curious where this is going.
All 5 episodes will stream on January 10th on Disney Plus and Hulu.
All 5?
They're all going to be available at once.
What? That's weird.
Better believe we're reviewing this show and we'll do it week to week, you know.
That is Netflix style, though.
You better believe
it. It is Netflix style, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. And what I really like is they're creating a separate umbrella for some of these. They're creating Marvel Spotlight, which this is going to be the first show of. It's going to be more like
A gritty
Daredevil type ground level stuff, which is what they need.
Thank God.
You need to have Daredevil and Punisher stories and not just everything is Thanos.
I mean, that's what happened. Like after Endgame, they just decided to do this huge pivot. It's like you guys were breaking records with everything. And then let's just do this huge pivot where it's just, you know, like it's all this PC garbage. And instead, yes. Look, you have a show. It's a woman lead and it looks fucking awesome.
She looks amazing.
Yes.
And like so, we talked about during Ahsoka, you know, you had a lot of women leads there too. And we didn't care. It was cool at times. And it didn't beat us over the head.
And this is what Hollywood doesn't understand. You can give us an awesome, badass female character that we legit want to watch, and you don't have to slap us in the face with
girl power
and how strong she is. Just make it organic.
Make her look strong and we'll be like, oh wow, that's fucking cool.
Because it's also a disservice to the woman playing that character when they go, see, she could do it. Like, oh yeah, you could do it. It's like if you made a baby an action hero. See, babies can be action heroes. Well, you're just shitting on women at that point. Like, of course they can. Like, you never saw Kill Bill. You never saw Terminator 2. Like, there's been plenty of these movies. So, that's...
I'm super hopeful now. I feel really good.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
I feel really good. Yeah.
I can't wait to watch that.
That's January, you said?
January 10th.
Can they give us that instead
Kingpin
of the Marvels?
Kingpin is back. Like, the Kingpin.
Yes.
Fuck yes.
Oh, my God. No. Who's the monster?
No more Hawaiian.
I'm so glad we spent so much time on this week.
I know.
Like, that's one of the most excited things.
I've got to start working on my Kingpin impression.
Yeah.
What was that line when he's beating up...
And I'll spend more than $3.
And I'll spend more than $3 on postage. Or whatever it was. That was so fucking good.
Still goosebumps.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to show you guys one more trailer. I don't know if you've seen this, Josh, but...
I've not seen this.
Japan came out with a new Godzilla movie called Godzilla Minus One.
Godzillas?
No, shut up.
Okay.
It's like a reboot. It's starting off from the beginning. And I saw the first trailer, and they didn't really show too much, but this one looks awesome.
Oh. Oh, shit.
That's awesome.
Oh, fuck. Wow.
Oh. I love that shot.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just fucking shit up, man.
Here it comes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Godzilla. Minus one.
Atomic.
Oh, fuck, wow. Okay, so my takeaway from this is it's the Americans that have been fucking up Godzilla?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So what I like about this is it looks like they've never seen Godzilla before movie.
Right.
Instead of like he's been showing up for decades.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, they did the, they're still going with the Godzilla monster universe with Godzilla and King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a show on Apple Plus coming out and they showed John Goodman's like in at least one scene
because
he was in Skull Island.
Right.
So it looks interesting, but like, you know, I love Skull Island. Skull Island is like probably my favorite monster movie like ever.
Huh. It was so surprising with how good it was.
Yes. And then they made the Godzilla with Bryan Cranston, but he was barely in it. And right. like the characters sucked in that movie.
I haven't enjoyed any of the Godzilla movies, to be honest. Like the story, this one looks cool.
The story and the characters of those Godzilla movies were really bad. Then they made Godzilla versus King Kong, and it was just fucking corny. Like, yeah. seeing them fight was cool, but overall the movie was really fucking dumb. This looks fucking great.
Yeah.
It looks serious. I mean, the shots are amazing. Like, the realistic shots of you just look out your window into the city, and you can't even see all of him because he's so fucking tall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It looks brilliant.
Him and biting the subway car, that was cool.
Yeah. I love that shot of him, like, swimming under the water, but you could still see him, like, yeah. looking so ominous.
December 1st. It's not even... It's it's right around the corner.
It's like, it's here.
It's here.
Damn.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that movie. Looks fucking awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. The last thing I have... I saw you had this on your phone, too.
Yeah.
The Hollywood Reporter... had this exclusive. B-movie icon Charles Band is making a film parody called Barbenheimer. He's taking advantage of, you know, what happened a few months ago. The film will be about a scientist doll called Dr. Bambi J. Barbenheimer living in the doll town Dolltopia, and she's bothered by how humans treat the dolls. So she goes on a mission to explode the real world with a giant nuclear bomb.
So this is going to be Sharknado, basically.
Absolutely.
That's yeah. funny. I see the tagline is called D-Cup A-Bomb.
There you go. Oh, man.
How fucking ridiculous.
That's interesting.
I hope it'll be fun.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
I mean, I'm willing to watch the trailer, and then I'll decide after whether or not it's worth watching. We'll see. Yeah. Anything else?
The only thing I got, just because we did mention The Boys season 4 was coming soon. Did we mention The Boys? No, we were talking about Invincibles. The Boys season 4
Invincible.
Is coming soon. And apparently it's going to take place a couple days after the events of the Gen V finale.
So we really just have to watch Gen V.
Yeah,
I mean, they've made it like Marvel now where we have to watch everything.
Which is fine because I've heard a lot of good things about Gen V.
Eric Hamilton says it's really good.
So, yeah, so I think that's something we're going to have to catch up on.
I guess so.
I need to get caught all the way up on The Boys still.
And you still haven't even finished...
where are you at?
I'm season 2.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I'm about to start season 2.
You got a little bit longer to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Did you ever finish Andor?
No.
Aaron, so behind.
Got
so
a kid, behind. Man.
Anything else?
I'm good.
I just had a couple quick little things. There's going to be an It... prequel series called Welcome to Derry.
Oh, Josh.
Coming out in 2025.
I look forward to y'all watching that next year in October.
Just for Josh. And it's a series, so you can watch horror every week, Josh. No. Aren't you excited?
No.
All right. And then just one other little thing. Alan Ruck from your show Succession.
That's right.
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller's best friend.
That's right. Where I'm going with this. He reportedly crashed his truck into a pizza shop, which is really funny because in Ferris Bueller, he crashes his dad's car. Yeah. So as soon as I saw that headline, I was like, oh, that's so poetic.
Yeah. Well, you know, Connor Roy, that was his character. Connor Roy doesn't care. He can just pay it off.
Remember he was in Speed?
He was in Speed.
He was one of the bus passengers.
That's right. Yeah.
The airport. Yeah, so I've already been to the airport. It's like
I forgot like about line, that yeah. movie.
Wow, should we be watching Speed soon? I think so.
I mean, I'd be fine with doing a Speed review. Yeah, Keanu Reeves has got a lot of great movies.
There's a lot of good movies out there we haven't done yet.
Mm. Which one of you hasn't seen The Replacements? It's you, right?
The football movie?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it, Aaron?
Yeah, I've seen it.
You've seen it?
It's been a long time.
Maybe Joe.
There was someone I knew that hasn't seen it.
Maybe Joe?
Joe's definitely seen The Replacements.
It was probably like 20 years ago, but I saw it.
Yeah, it's really good. I watch it probably once a year.
Yeah. There's so many movies. And, you know, December's coming up, so we need like 4 Christmas movies to do for December. Nice. And it will not be It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
We're not going to do It's a Wonderful Life,
Josh. It's
one
of the best movies of all time.
And you guys did Die Hard last year, right?
We did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sure we can find some good ones.
Christmas Vacation, for sure.
Oh, my God.
For sure.
I've never watched that with you.
Yeah.
Because it's like your favorite Christmas movie
yeah.
and my favorite Christmas movie.
Right.
And yeah, I'm just like, gotta be one of them. I'm mad about it.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
You just don't understand comedy. All right, so let's do the Total Recall review. Oh, God. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Dude.
At his finest.
Dude.
This the credit scroll, it was like your classic 80s credits to open the movie. But like the credits are on like the lower thirds of the screen because they had this like weird effect of them dropping down. It was just kind of distracting, but not really important. We open with Arnold, or Quaid, Douglas Quaid, on Mars. And he's with a woman, but he falls, cracks his helmet open, and he starts suffocating to death, something we see a lot in this movie.
Foreshadowing.
Where I guess that's just what they thought it would look like if you took your helmet off on Mars.
Yeah.
But they've said that, you know, this is
a lot of really extended scenes or whatever.
Your eyes bulge, and apparently that's not what would happen. I think your head would just freeze, right?
I think you just suffocate. I think you're instantly right
because they've made other movies where people go to space, they take off their helmets and their head freezes. They're like dead immediately.
That's in space.
I thought the pressure would like make all your like blood vessels explode and everything, and
you just blow up.
I don't know.
I don't know. I hope so.
I hope so.
Instantly, right? I don't need to have all that torture.
So Arnold or Douglas Quaid wakes up. It was just a bad dream, and you know, of course, his wife Sharon Stone. Who, I mean, couldn't be hotter.
I mean, for God's sake!
In this movie. It's funny. I think she's hotter in this than Basic Instinct.
She never looked better in her life than this movie.
It's peak Sharon Stone, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, he wakes up and she's like, was it about Mars? So he's been having lots of nightmares or dreams about Mars. And she's also jealous of the brunette. In Quaid's dreams. Like, that was stupid to tell your wife.
Because that's what husbands do. They tell their wives about the woman that they were dreaming about.
Yeah.
I've
been fucking this other woman in my dreams. What?
Oh. Okay, that's good to know. All right.
Yeah, don't do that, Josh. Yeah. Then he goes, there's so many, like, classic Arnold lines from this movie that I'm just going to be quoting throughout. But when he's like, come on, baby. You know that you get the girl in my dreams?
You know, if
I would never fuck anyone else, especially not like our fat, ugly maid that looks like me.
So there's Arnold soundboards out there that have a bunch of lines. I wonder of those that have been made, like what percentage is just Total Recall quotes?
There's so many.
It's got to be like at least half.
You could find one that's just Total Recall.
So the Arnold prank calls, like the most famous ones. It's all from this movie, for the most part.
Right, yeah.
Like, half of the buttons that you, you know, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's from this. A lot of Kindergarten Cop, too, as well, because the, who is your daddy?
Oh, yeah,
and what does he do?
Yeah.
What? Who is your daddy? What are you talking about?
That's right.
Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Detective John Kimble. I'm a cop, you idiot.
Oh, my God, I forgot about all that.
Yeah, so, they start to fuck, but we don't get to see, unfortunately.
No.
Boo. It's the 80s. It's an R-rated movie.
I know.
Come on, man.
Apparently,
it's a Paul Verhoeven movie.
Apparently he wanted Sharon Stone to show her boobs, and she wouldn't do it. Mm. But then the same director made Basic Instinct with her, and she showed a whole lot more.
I'm glad you touched on
that. He finally talked her into it.
Paul Verhoeven, after seeing her in this movie, he was like, watching her flip from like sweet and docile to fucking murderer, that's what made him want to cast her in Basic Instinct.
Yeah, and then he also was quoted as like, you know, yeah, she wouldn't show any nudity in this movie, but I got her back in Basic Instinct.
Right.
It's like, all right. So then Arnold, Quaid, watches the war on Mars on his television while he makes a protein shake.
It's just so funny. Like, after seeing like all that murder and mayhem on Mars, he's like, hey, I think we should go to Mars.
Yeah.
Nice vacation.
Like, one soldier sees a camera, he's like, get that camera out of my fucking face.
Just like murdering
people. This movie does such a great job with the F word.
Oh,
like, anytime they say fuck, it's hilarious.
Yes.
Because it's just like, get that fucking camera out of my face.
This is just on the news, just the local news.
Yeah. And then Quaid tells his wife,
let's do it.
Do what? move to Mars. Again, like Josh said, this is right after he just saw a bunch of people getting shot to death.
It looks like Afghanistan there. Yeah, and he's like, hey, let's move to Mars.
Why do you want to go there?
How many times have you told your wife, Aaron, you know what? Afghanistan. I think it's going to be a great summer vacation.
Let's do it.
Hey, let's move to Israel.
Let's go to the Gaza Strip. That'll be a
the
great
Gaza
time.
Gaza Strip.
This would be a great time.
So instead, Sharon Stone suggests they go to Saturn or like a space cruise instead. And it was like, oh, I guess that's a possibility.
Right.
Maybe Saturn's more peaceful. I don't know. Yeah. But Quaid tells her he wants more out of life. And it's like, you're fucking Sharon Stone. Do you really need any more?
Yeah.
What else do you need, dude?
Fair point.
Just do your 8 hours a day and then go home and fuck Sharon Stone. Exactly. That's all you need to do.
Just go drill into the ground, whatever and the fuck you do.
Then drill back at home.
Yeah. That's from his his bodybuilder documentaries. Like, I'm coming at the gym, I'm coming backstage, and I'm coming at night when I have sex with a woman. So I'm coming day and night.
Jesus Christ.
Quaid heads to work and he sees an ad for Recall where you could buy a memory. Lifetime, recall.
Butterfly.
And then Quaid's co-worker warns him not to do recall because he knows someone who almost had to get lobotomized. But Quaid still goes to recall anyway.
What I really liked, though, was after he's like trying to steer him away from it. And Arnold's like, oh, shit. Okay, never mind. The dude like goes back to his work and then he throws him another look like, got my eye on you.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. So I'm starting to have some realizations now.
Okay.
Which is sometimes dangerous.
That's not a good idea. All right.
Yeah.
So we know what happens at the end, right? That it's a triple cross where Arnold was supposed to do this all along. But like how he was doing all this menial mundane stuff. How was he ever supposed to get there in the beginning? Was his memory just slowly coming back?
Well, should we talk? I feel like we should wait to discuss whether it was all a dream or not.
Yeah, we're kind of jumping ahead.
All right?
Okay.
Yes. That's after we're done with the review.
But you could, in that scene, that scene where he gives him that glance is like, oh, he's obviously concerned. Like, you could take it two ways. Like, you know, like, I know who you really are, bitch. Or, like, he's genuinely concerned that his friend is going to go to recall and get lobotomized, you know what I mean?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that later. He goes to recall anyway, and there's a secretary there. She could just change her nail color with a magic pen just to show you that this is the future. It's supposed to take place in 2084.
61 years away.
Did we might really just do the math that fast?
I already typed it up.
Oh, okay.
We might live that long. I might got another 61 years in me, maybe.
No.
Question mark?
Knock on wood. Like 6 years.
Fuck yourself. 60. I'm aiming for 60. I'm going to make it to 2080.
You'll make it to 60 years old. And then the recall salesman tells Quaid it will feel just as real as a real vacation. Come on, don't bullshit me. And the salesman gives Quaid options to go as a millionaire, an athlete, and he chooses secret agent. And then the salesman spoils the rest of the movie. He tells Quaid, at the end, you get the girl, you kill the bad guy, and you save the planet. Doesn't that sound great?
And it does.
It does.
It sounds really good.
So Quaid gets like in the machine, getting ready to go. And one female scientist is asking him questions. She asks Quaid, your sexual orientation? And he says, hetero. And she seems surprised.
Yeah, she's like, oh, kinky.
She's like,
She's like, I know you're gay. Come on.
Maybe she was excited. She was like, I'm going to put myself in his dreams and then I'll fuck him.
Maybe.
So then Quaid chooses his woman to be an athletic, sleazy brunette. And we see the woman that we'll soon meet later, but also the woman that was in his dream in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So Quaid goes to sleep, but something goes horribly wrong. He starts freaking out, yelling, you blew my cover! And like, just he's screaming at the top of his lungs, and the camera shot's like right in his face.
Yes.
Like, it's all his face going, you blew my cover! They'll be here any minute. They'll kill you all! And it's just like Arnold just going full ham, like just
every vein popping out of his forehead.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Roid rage.
They sedate him over and over. Like,
he's like, dead.
Like he's a fucking rhino, yeah.
Till he falls asleep. The woman scientist tells the salesman that Quaid has already been to Mars, and the salesman says, you dumb bitch, He's acting. He says it just like that.
Just casual.
It's so great, you dumb bitch. He's acting out the secret agent implant. She goes, we haven't implanted him yet. It's like, oh my God.
Bam.
So then Quaid wakes up in a Johnny cab driven by a friendly but creepy robot. And Quaid's coworker meets him but pulls a gun on him and three other men grab him. He's like, what the hell is going on? What the fuck did I do wrong? It's just like another amazing, hilarious quote.
Arnold freak out. For our extra nerdy fans, Johnny Cab was played by Robert Picardo, who was from Star Trek Voyager. He played the Hollow Doctor. But even better, he played that sexy shirtless cowboy from Innerspace, that Dennis Quaid, Martin Short movie.
Okay.
Have you guys seen that?
I don't think I've seen that, no.
Oh, he played a ridiculous character in that. It was interesting. Great.
So Quaid kills all of them in the most brutal way possible. Again, this movie's R, so they could do that. I also read that, like, they had to edit some of these, like, murder scenes down because just to get an R rating.
Yeah. Well, these are Paul Verhoeven movies. That's why they're so fun. It's like, even guys getting shot, they're so bloody and so violent.
It's so graphic.
It was very extra and
so
over the
graphic
top.
With the blood.
Quaid goes home and tells his wife what happened. Sharon Stone calls Richter while Quaid washes his hands. And then she tries to shoot him to death, but he grabs her. And she punches him in the balls. She kicks him in the balls. Uh-huh. She cuts him with a knife, but then he holds the gun on her. And she tells him that she's not his wife. It was all implanted as a memory.
If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
And she tries to seduce him, but he sees men on the security cameras in their apartment.
Yeah.
But the security cameras are showing the lobby.
Right.
That was strange.
Maybe it's the future. You can tap into every security.
It's the future. And
sure.
Maybe.
It's a dream, so whatever. Right. Dreams are weird. Quaid punches his wife, knocks her out. I mean, just like a straight punch to the face.
And he uses the Jurassic Park line. Clever girl.
Oh, yeah. Clever girl. And then, nice knowing you. And then Richter and his men check on Sharon Stone, and then he makes out with her. Richter makes out with Sharon Stone. It's his girl. Then Quaid runs into that security x-ray thing, but they spot his gun, so he jumps through it. And Richter and his men chase after him. They shoot at Quaid, but they shoot the guy in front of him.
Oh, my God. This
so then
so
Quaid
good.
Uses him as a human shield.
And even when he sees
them behind him, then he turns the guy.
And turns him around and uses him again.
Yeah. And that was apparently another scene where they had to edit that down to get the R rating.
Yeah, because Arnold just kept on picking up people.
Just random people.
That poor asshole just got shot, like, 30 times.
Not only that, that poor asshole had to get manhandled by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, I was like a dummy, I'm sure.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just had one hand and he's like just...
I believe he's
holding
that
him
strong.
Up in the air.
And then the worst part was after all of that was over, he just...
He throws the guy.
He throws right. The guy down the fucking escalator. And then they even have a specific shot of them stepping on the guy's corpse, like running over him.
Blood squishing.
Like that poor asshole.
Yeah, what's the body count in this movie?
Jesus. That's a good question. I'm looking
at it. Gotta be in the hundreds.
It's gotta be.
So Quaid jumps in the subway to get away. He gets a phone call from some guy who tells him to wrap a towel over his head. So they can't. That's so they can't track him, right? Or it delays
to
them.
Dampen
tracking?
It.
Yeah, it blurs it.
Blurs
so they
it.
Can't
right.
Pinpoint him.
The guy leaves a suitcase outside for him, but some old lady grabs it and they fight over it. He's like, "No, this is mine." She's like, "I don't see your name on it. I'm taking this.
I'm taking this. You dumb bitch.
Fuck you, you asshole." It's just so random, like. It's not necessary that there's an old lady that he's fighting, but it's just hilarious.
It's funny.
And then when he turns around and bows to her,
that was way out of the character.
Yeah. Richter's men find him and Quaid gets in a Johnny cab, but the cab's asking too many questions. He's like, come on, just go. And he's like, oh, where would you like to go? And he sees them coming. He's like, shit. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that term. So then he just is like, and he rips the robot off and drives the cab himself.
Johnny cabs. I mean, that's part of the future. That's coming soon.
I mean, people already have Teslas.
Yeah.
So he arrives at a secure location and the Johnny cab's like, oh, that'll be 50 credits. And then Quaid says, sue me. And then Johnny cab goes, what?
Just for no reason.
If you rip off Johnny cab, Johnny Cab will try to run you over. Yeah. But Quaid moves, jumps out of the way, and the cab crashes, and it's set on fire, and yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
It's just, like, this movie, it's the little things like that. That yes. was There was no point to any of that, but it was so fun. It's
just
so
random fun. Mayhem.
Yeah. Quaid opens the suitcase and gets a video message from himself.
Oh.
Howdy, partner. You are not you. You're me. No shit.
And then this guy, his other version of himself is Hauser. Hauser tells Quaid that he used to do Cohagen's dirty work, and Cohagen's the guy that is running Mars like a dictator. But then he met a woman who made him realize that he was playing for the wrong team.
He was gay.
He met a hooker.
Okay, my bad.
He made a hooker that let him realize he's playing for the wrong team.
That's right. Left that part out.
Hauser has Quaid shove a device up his nose to pull out the tracker, and then he tells him, "Get your ass to Mars." Another amazing quote.
That's a good line.
In fact, I think if you still, I think, let the me website. See if they still have it. Yeah, does it still exist? GetYourAssToMars.com.
I think
it still exists. It's still there. If you type GetYourAssToMars.com, it's just a photo of Arnold. And this is from like Jingle All the Way. It's not even from Total Recall. He's like,
I think it's from Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, Kindergarten. You're right. It is from Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
And it just says GetYourAssToMars.com, and that's it.
Feel like that.
Oh, look, you can play.
And I think it.
Oh no! Now it's just some stupid music. It used to say "Get your ass to Mars" over and over.
Yeah, it did. That's
now
weird.
It's just some dumb music.
I feel like that might be Elon Musk's ringtone.
Maybe they got hit with some kind of cease and desist or something.
I can't imagine. So Quaid smashes the computer and puts the he gets the thing out of his nose. He puts the tracker on a rat, and then Richter and his guys show up. They have the tracker, and they're like, "There!" And it's like, "What is he?" Is he laying on the ground and then they just shoot the ground?
He's rolling around on the ground.
There! Bang, bang, bang.
Shoot the there, wall.
There! Bang, bang. And then Richter realizes it's a rat and shoots the rat. And like a human amount of blood splats on the computer with Hauser repeatedly saying, "Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars."
And by the way, the scene of him like pulling that tracker out of his nose, where it's like
too much.
This crazy dummy shot.
That was right.
It almost works better for this movie that some of the like those types of shots look so fake and ridiculous.
Right.
Like that almost makes it better.
It does, for sure. Because the movie is so ridiculous.
Yes.
And it's not pretending not to be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like some people watch this and they're like, "This was fucking stupid." It's like, yeah, but it's supposed to be stupid.
It knows what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we see a large woman arriving on Mars. Richter and his men walk by, and the immigration agent asks the woman, "How long are you staying on Mars?" And she says, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Which also, 2 weeks is what Recall said was like how long the fake vacation would be.
Right. Very nice.
So then he's like, "Oh, did you bring any fruits and vegetables?" And she says, 2 weeks. And he's like, "What the fuck?
What?
What the fuck is wrong with you?"
True.
And then she grabs her face and mouth and she starts freaking out. 2 weeks. Going crazy. And then Richter sees this and he goes, Quaid.
He just sees some random woman freaking out. Quaid.
She's not having a seizure.
That's Quaid.
Quaid.
Yeah. Quaid takes off the fake woman head and tosses it to some of the cops and then... get ready for a surprise. Boom.
So the only two words that mask knew were those.
To me, that's the best non-Arnold line of the movie.
Oh, my God.
Get ready for a surprise.
Absolutely.
I love that.
I mean, again, just weird for the sake of being weird.
I use that line in real life sometimes.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm going to disguise myself as a giant woman.
Aaron comes home. Get ready for a surprise.
And also, like, we have no idea... how he got that, right? Was that in the suitcase or something? Maybe.
That's the only thing that I could
think
of.
I guess we're supposed to believe it was in the suitcase.
Right.
But, like, this giant head? I don't know.
Well, they left him money. Maybe he just went and bought that.
Bought it, yeah. So they shoot at Quaid, but it breaks the glass. And many of them go flying out into the fucking, on the surface of Mars.
So the only thing protecting Mars is your bedroom window.
Thin piece of glass.
Yeah.
It's only thing between them and death.
And they're like, "Shut it down." And it's like, maybe you should keep it shut down.
Yeah.
Never open it.
And then like Richter's like, "Open it back up." And he's like, the one guy's like, "They're all connected." So it's like, if they're all connected, you can never open this back up.
Yeah.
So then you all just go flying out again. So Quaid gets away. He goes to the hotel that
So more theories that it's a dream.
Sure. Oh. Goes to the hotel that he told himself to go to. He sees a flyer. There's a flyer in his safe deposit box for a brothel called The Last Resort. And it says, for a good time, ask for Melina. And then he wants to make sure it's his handwriting. So he writes Melina, realizes that it is.
That seems like a terrible name for a strip club, just to be honest. The last resort?
But it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
It seems like that's a bad branding.
Quaid gets a ride from a taxi driver who's got 5 kids to feed. Then Quaid goes to the last resort, and he's propositioned by a woman with 3 boobs. One of the most memorable things about this movie is the chick with 3 tits.
That's what everybody remembers. True.
Even when they remade this movie with Colin Farrell, they put another woman with 3 boobs in the movie.
It's such a Paul Verhoeven thing to do.
Yeah. And like, I also read that the woman that played that part like hated it, and she said like she felt humiliated by having to do this, and
she shouldn't have done it.
Then don't do it. Yeah.
They would have hired somebody else.
And it's not even your real boobs.
I mean, the alternative is you wouldn't have been remembered at all.
That's so, right, exactly. So Quaid meets Melina, and she grabs his dick, and she asks, "What have you been feeding this thing?"
"Blondes."
That's a good line. That's a good line.
That is a good line. And then a man with a vagina on his head grabs Quaid and says, "You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here." And he goes, "Look who's talking."
And who is Vagina Face?
And it's his voice is so recognizable.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's Hank Schrader from Breaking Bad.
Did we know, in the past, he would have been murdered by Walter White.
He plays Pussyface.
Very interesting.
In this movie. Pussyface.
Yeah.
Hank Schrader.
Yeah.
Quaid tells Melina he doesn't remember anything, and he doesn't even remember her, and she's pissed because she didn't know that he has a wife, and she tells him to leave. You're a hooker!
She's a whore!
Yeah.
But she's a classy.
You fucked Pussyface!
I don't know if that was...
How he got Pussyface.
Confirmed.
You are what you eat, apparently.
That's an STD on Mars.
Jesus.
That's what no oxygen does to you?
You guys didn't know that? Yeah.
A little oxygen? Jesus.
Then we see the cab driver grabbing the woman with 3 boobs, and he goes, "Oh, baby, you make me wish I had 3 hands."
Oh, Benny.
Which, that's another great, like, Arnold-less quote from the movie as well.
It is.
"You made me wish I had 3 hands." Then Quaid goes to his hotel, but he gets a knock on his door. "Who are you?" And it's the man from the recall commercials. And he tells Quaid that Quaid is actually in an implant chair. He suffered a schizoid embolism, and he's having a paranoid episode.
Right.
And then he even brings in Quaid's wife, Sharon Stone. She walks in begging him to believe the guy, come home. The recall man tells Quaid to swallow this red pill and he'll wake up. Sound familiar, Matrix?
A little Matrix-y for sure. No, but this was like great. Like, you know, throughout this movie, you don't know if it's real or not. And this guy's acting was really good. And you're like, maybe you're back to leaning. Maybe it's not real. And it's just,
I guarantee you, that's so where the Wachowski brothers or sisters got the idea for the pills.
Maybe.
In Matrix. You know, swallow this red pill and you'll wake up.
Right.
By the way, quick little trivia thing. So the prostitute that he just met.
Yeah.
Do you remember the other role that you probably most remember her from?
No.
Was she in another Arnold movie?
No. Well, she may have been, but it's not the one I'm thinking of.
I don't know.
She was one of the guards on the plane in Con Air.
Oh my God!
Wow! Yeah.
Holy shit, you just blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was the one that Danny Trejo tried to fuck, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Interesting. Should we do Con Air next?
Didn't we do Con Air?
I don't know, did we?
We did Face Off.
Yeah, I don't think we've done
it. Maybe we didn't do Con Air. Yeah, we got to do Con Air one of these days.
I have to look and see if we did that.
Yeah. So yeah, he's like, take the pill. And then Quaid says, if this is all a dream, I can pull the trigger and kill you. And then the guy says, if Quaid kills him, the walls of reality will come crashing down. he says, Quaid will believe himself to be the savior of the resistance only to discover that he is in fact Cohagen's bosom buddy. And he says that he will have visions of an alien civilization. And then he points out that he will end up, you know, being lobotomized after all of this.
Damn. Right. He was also telling the truth.
He was also telling the truth about everything. Wow, yeah.
Interesting.
He goes, take the pill. Put it in your mouth. Swallow it.
Swallow the poison.
He was like Vince McMahon. He really was. Swallow the poison.
You should put that on a soundboard for use in personal life.
Swallow it.
Oof.
Hey, baby. Swallow it. Yeah. And then Quay was about to swallow the pill, but he sees the man sweating, so he shoots him in the head and then spits out the pill.
Which I was never quite sure why he was convinced that the man sweating means...
He was nervous, I guess.
Yeah.
No, but why that meant, like, oh, he's not... Like, he's real. That's a person... Like, because of the sweat drop, he's real and not, like...
I'm with Andrew. I thought it was the nervousness.
He wasn't inserted into my dream. Like, one, why would he be nervous?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's a thing. But I thought that's what convinced Quay to do it was, oh, he's nervous.
Right. The thing about this scene that made me laugh so much was you had two of the bad guys that were just drinking. What were they drinking?
No, not yet at all. Don't fast forward yet.
Okay, okay.
So Richter's men bust in. They beat him up. Sharon Stone kicks him in the balls again. And yeah, then Sharon Stone is leading these guys. And then they beat him up. Then Sharon Stone calls Richter, who's at the bar enjoying daiquiris. But you look at it again. It's like he's drinking a strawberry daiquiri. That's fucking hilarious.
That's some balls right there.
So before we move on, just one more quick last thing on that whole him shooting the guy in the pill thing.
Yeah.
So seeing the sweat drop convinced him, oh, he's lying. He's not really in my brain and I'm not really dreaming. He's real. I need to shoot him. Well, everyone else around him is sweating and bleeding. So
yeah. But again, I think it was more about the guy was nervous, so he was lying to me. Mm. I think it was more about that.
Okay.
Same piece.
Yeah. So then Melina shows up with a machine gun to save Quaid, and she has a fight with Sharon Stone, but Sharon beats her, and she was about to slit her throat, but Quaid shoots the knife out of her hand, and Sharon Stone, or I think Lori is her name in the movie, but she goes, honey, be reasonable. After all, we're married. And she pulls out a gun, but Quaid shoots her in the head and says, consider that a divorce.
Damn. That's a good line.
Great burn line.
That's a good line.
Yeah. Then Richter finds Sharon Stone dead and he's pissed. Quaid and Melina.
I just want to say the most unrealistic part of this movie, most unrealistic part is that Michael Ironside was fucking Sharon Stone.
Sure.
That's what Andrew was saying at that first scene when he showed up. He's like, what a downgrade.
There was a scene where like Richter's number one guy, he was like, you think she enjoyed it? And he was like, well, of course, or something.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm sure she hated every minute of it.
Yeah, right. He's like, uh-huh. Yeah. And he's like, God damn it. It's like, well, of course, yeah. But again, if it's all a dream, then...
It is all a dream. That's why that was able to happen. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm back in dreamland.
So Quaid and Melina get in the taxi cab with the driver who's got five kids to feed. And after a car chase, Quaid, Melina, and the cab driver run into the last resort, but Pussyface, Hank Schrader, opens a door from a wall and they go inside to hide. And then Richter walks in and he shoots the woman with three boobs dead.
Oh, R.I.P.
Really cementing how evil he is. And then he just yells, kill them all! Yeah. And they all fight, and the midget... hooker stabs Richter's number one guy in the chest. It's funny because when you see her charging at him, it looks like she stabbed him in the dick. Because then he goes, there's a close up of his face. He's like, what? Yeah. But then the next shot, the knife is through his chest. Right. And it's like, damn it. I just wished, why was it at the dick?
I thought that too. It looks like he was getting stabbed in the dick.
Do you know what the character's name was? The girl?
No.
Thumbelina.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Sure.
That's amazing.
Sure.
So then Thumbelina grabs a machine gun, and that's a great shot of her just...
little person with a machine gun.
It's so good.
Fantastic. So you can just do this on Mars. You can just walk into a bar and say, let's just kill everyone.
Yeah.
And that just happens.
Well, he's the dictator.
Why does anybody...
Cohagen's like Hitler.
Why does anybody go to Mars? because it looks like there's people there that are, you know, well off. They're not just, it's not like a giant slum or anything.
Yeah.
There's well off people there. Why would they be there?
Well, I think because
Elon Musk promised people that this was going to be different. It was going to be paradise.
Right.
You know?
Fucking Elon.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen.
You told us it'd be better, Elon. Come on.
Yeah. Richter and his men leave, and Cohagen stops the airflow going into Freaktown, and he won't turn it back on unless they give him Quaid. And again, all these people that are freaks because of Cohagen.
Right.
Yeah.
Something about, like, the radiation.
Yeah,
and, like, area. The lack of oxygen, too.
No, they said they built, like, cheap domes, so right. It couldn't stop the radiation or whatever. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Mm.
So Quaid meets with the rebels, and the cab driver shows him that he's a freak like them because he has a mutated arm. And then Quaid meets the leader of the rebels, Quado, who is a mutant that lives in another man's stomach. Yeah. And that's how you describe Quado. He's disgusting.
So.
And the guy's like, hold on, let me take him out.
Uncomfortable.
And he turns around and he's just like, Oh, yes.
Aaron, please describe how he gets Quado to come out.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, when we were watching this, like, I turned my back to the guys and I make, like, a jerk-off motion, like, hold on, Quado's coming. Quado's here.
Does Quado have a dick somewhere in there?
I think that's the guy's dick.
So every time Quado comes, he comes into that guy's stomach.
Oh.
I'm going to go take a Quado.
Open your mind. All right, so.
Open some other shit, too.
Real quick, there was an SNL skit, like, 15 years ago. You know, Andy Samberg was on SNL, but he was rarely in skits. He was always doing like a Lonely Island video.
Right. Oh.
But they let him do this one skit, and you can't find it anywhere on the internet. Like, they literally erased it from history, the history of SNL, because clearly Lorne Michaels or someone hated it so much.
That's funny.
But I wish I could show it to someone, but you can't find it anywhere. It
makes me want to see it more.
So there's this scene where I forget who's all in it. Obviously, Andy Samberg is. But there's like this party and this woman's talking to this guy and he seems really nice. And then he goes and walks away and she's like, wow, Jeff is a really great guy. And he's single. Like, what's his deal?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, he has a Quado. And she's like, what? She's like, yeah, he has a Quado. Like, what's that? And they're like, well, it's just, you know, a guy that lives in his stomach. And then she goes, and then Quado comes out, and it's Andy Samberg, like, as Quado.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, hey, everyone. And he doesn't talk like Quado, but he just, and he keeps saying, he says, like, how many Quaids does a Quado have to blow around here to get a smint?
Hold on, stop.
Yeah.
I've seen this.
Yeah.
I probably showed you 15 years ago.
When
you first started talking about it, I didn't, but I remember now. Yeah. I did see that once.
How many Quaids does a Quado have to blow around here to get a smint?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I mean, I haven't seen this in like 10 plus years because it's been erased from existence.
We've got to find that now.
Dude, I've tried. I mean, please, someone, if someone could find it. I don't even remember who hosted SNL on that, like, for that episode.
It's out there somewhere.
That's got to be like a BitTorrent situation.
Yeah, probably. It's out there somewhere.
You got to find that episode of SNL. God damn.
Let's use Josh's computer so we can go,
there you go.
Navigating in all the virus sites.
Yeah. I already looked up a lot of weird stuff today.
So Quado shows Quaid a vision of the core of Mars, which is, you know, it's made of ice, which of course it's not. But it is in this movie. And then Richter's men bust in shooting, so they run. But then the cab driver shoots down the man who has the Quado. And they're like, what happened? You know, you're a mutant. Why would you do this? And he goes, I've got four kids to feed. And then Quaid says, what happened to number five? He's like, oh, shit, you got me. I don't even have any kids.
How could you, Benny?
So even worse, he did it for the money and he doesn't even have kids.
He's a sellout. A mutant sellout.
And then Quado tells Quaid, start the reactor. Free Mars. Richter shoots Quado in the head. It's disgusting.
I'm just glad Quado's gone. It was disgusting. Oh, my God. The open your mind scene was just...
Yes.
It's a bit much.
The close-up of Quado, Krang, whatever.
Quado.
It was way too much.
There's no Krang.
He is very Krang-like, okay?
Okay. So then Cohagen tells Quaid about him and how he and Hauser created Quaid to get closer to Quado, since the mutants can always read their minds. It was all part of the plan. And then Cohagen shows Quaid another message from Hauser, who confirms all of this. And then you even see Hauser standing side by side with Cohagen, and they laugh and all that.
You son of a bitch.
They put Quaid and Melina in the implant machines, and Cohagen tells Quaid, "You like Melina, right? Well, you get to fuck her every night."
Okay.
And she'll be obedient.
Okay. Double in.
You're going to be a good girl, you know, whatever. And then someone tells Cohagen that the people in Freakville are going to die without oxygen, but Cohagen says, fuck them.
Fuck them.
And then Quaid says, come on, Cohagen, you got to do what you want. Give these people air. But of course he won't do it.
He will not.
And then Richter punches Quaid since he won't remember it. And then Cohagen tells one of the doctors, he's like, hey, remind Hauser of the party later. And then Richter says, see you at the party.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
And he will. They start the implant process, but, you know, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He powers out of it, brutally murders the scientist, stabs him in the neck with the thing, and then another guy, like, through his head.
That's one of the more memorable kills for me of the movie, like, stabbing the guy in the neck with that thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Very.
Then graphic. Cohagen, he reluctantly tells Richter to kill Quaid. He's not happy about it because it's his best friend. But Richter's like, finally, I hate this fucking guy.
He fucked my wife for so long.
Yeah. And then Cohagen knocks over his fish tank and his fish suffocate to death, which will be his fate as well.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Oh, shit.
So much foreshadowing in this movie.
This movie is a lot more clever than people give it credit for.
It really is.
Quaid and Melina are attacked by the cab driver and one of those big drillers. And Quaid gets a drill of his own and yells, screw you, as he screws the guy to death.
That's a great Arnold line. Great Arnold line.
I mean, that's like Running Man type level. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What happened to Buzzsaw?
He had to split.
Fantastic.
Then Richter's men show up and they shoot Quaid and he falls, but then he stands up and laughs and he starts glitching out. And Quaid walks up and shoots a bunch of them. He's got a hologram!
Oh, shit!
And then he walks up again and goes, ha, 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 you think this is the real Quaid? It is.
Those kind of scenes are so satisfying when they get a gadget earlier in the movie. Yeah. And then like 45 minutes later, you finally see him use it.
It's the payoff. It's really good. Yeah. But if you're a bad guy, still shoot the hologram.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right, because at that point, it was three guys, and they were all facing Arnold, so they wouldn't shoot each other.
Right.
Yeah. Just like one round.
So it's just dumb bad guys, but, you know, yeah.
I've got to check.
Nope. Then Melina used the hologram, and Richter's men shoot each other.
Yeah. A little bit of womp-womp there, but no, it's not fun.
Then Quaid and Richter have a fist fight on an elevator, and, I mean, this has got to be the most memorable death.
Oh,
in the movie.
For sure.
Like, Richter's hanging off the elevator, and he tries to take Quaid with him, but then Quaid overpowers him, and he gets his arms ripped off and falls to his death, and then Quaid throws the arms.
Throws the arms.
See you at the party, Richter!
So, oh my God. It's the little things in this movie, throwing the arms behind him.
Yeah. Then Quaid gets to the reactor, but Cohagen is there. Telling him that by activating the reactor, it'll melt all of Mars. They'll all die. And then he's like, you think I believe that? And he's like, I don't give a fuck what you believe. In 30 seconds, you'll be dead. I'll blow this place up and be home back in time for cornflakes.
I cannot believe that's what they were going to have at the party.
Yeah, exactly.
Cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
Wow. What kind of party is that?
What a line, though.
Yeah.
Melina shows up. She shoots Cohagen. It's funny because the way she does it, she's on that, like, what do you call it?
The lift, the elevator
lift. That lift.
Thing?
And, yeah. Like, doesn't Arnold do that in Terminator 2? Or was it, Sarah Connor? Doesn't, one of them comes up on a lift and shoots a guy as they...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He has, well, he's on, like, a conveyor belt thing.
It was Arnold, right?
It was Arnold on Terminator 2. He, goes that. Up a conveyor belt and shoots a grenade launcher, I think.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
And this is before T2.
It is.
So it was like, it's like a similar shot.
Huh. He remembered a lot of things.
So Melina shoots Cohagen. Cohagen presses the button, but Quaid throws the bomb in some tunnel. It blows, but they start getting sucked in, but they're all hanging on. And then Cohagen's like, don't do it! We'll all die! But Quaid just grabs Cohagen's hand and he falls. And then Cohagen suffocates to death on the surface.
That was a pretty good Cohagen, actually. He sounds just like that when he yells.
We'll all die!
Can you do a Quado, too?
Please.
Open your mind.
Oh, no, I guess
please don't.
Quaid. Oh, God. Quaid.
Ah, it's too much in my ears.
Come in me, Quaid.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, Cohagen suffocates to death. His eyeballs pop out. Quaid activates the reactor. And then Quaid and Melina fall to the surface. And they start suffocating to death. But the air shoots out. And everyone's saved. You can now breathe freely on Mars.
Hmm.
It no longer costs money. And
that's
then Quaid
good thing.
Tells Melina,
I just had a terrible thought. What if this is a dream?
And she says, then kiss me before you wake up.
Oh,
and they kiss.
Damn.
And we fade to white. And he's lobotomized.
Ooh,
that's right. Oh,
and here we
it was a dream.
Go.
Yeah. It's all right. Let's talk about it.
Interesting.
Was it a dream?
Well, let's start with Josh. What do you think? Because this is what I'm most interested to hear is Josh's theory.
I waffled back and forth, but I didn't think about that, about the white screen right afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little bottomized. It was all a dream.
Okay.
For years, I thought the movie was real. Everything was real. And the more I've thought about it over time, it's like it's too perfect for it not to be a dream.
Right.
It's I think dream.
So
there's now that's not to say there aren't some moments where it's like, well, if it is a dream, that part doesn't line up.
Right.
But mostly.
So one of my friends, Steven, we would always have this like argument. He would always say it was real and I would always say it was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So then one day I bought the DVD and we watched the DVD commentary with the director and with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay.
And it was funny because Arnold barely said anything the entire commentary. Like the director would explain everything and Arnold would go, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in the DVD commentary, the director confirms it was all a dream.
I think I've heard that.
In the exact moment, like once he goes to sleep, like when you're watching it, the director goes, no, this is the dream. Because the director has an accent as well.
Interesting. Wow.
But again, like I said, I'm more on the side of it's a dream, but that doesn't explain why was the guy sweating? Why was he nervous about it?
Right.
That, you know, there are parts that don't line up.
I think it's one of those things that can be whatever you want it to be.
It sure can, right? It absolutely can.
And I think that's also part of the point was to leave people wondering.
But like, Christopher Nolan is never going to come out and say what the end of Inception is.
I still haven't seen it.
Well, because
he's never going to do that.
Well, because he's not Paul Verhoeven.
Nolan. Paul Verhoeven is like, this is the dream.
Dream starts now.
Paul Verhoeven's not trying to win Oscars here, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he gets too hot. Well, I mean,
but
Arnold,
the DVD so commentary is great because he's so proud of this movie.
Well,
like,
yeah.
All right, so I looked it up, kill count. So there were 109 total deaths in the movie.
Right, that makes sense.
So they got 7 people murdered, all the people. So Douglas Quaid, of course, had the highest kill count, 48. 50?
Oh, I was at 50.
48, so close.
Nice.
Damn.
Cohagen, 33. Richter.
Cohagen?
Yeah.
Who did he shoot?
I guess all the... I don't know. That's
what
it says.
Who did Cohagen kill?
I don't remember Cohagen killing anybody.
Yeah.
That's Cohagen.
He killed fish.
He did have killed fish.
Was it the fish? Were there 20 fish?
No. They have Richter listed with 29. Benny with 26. Lori Quaid killed 25. Melina killed 24.
Benny killed 26 people?
26.
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
No,
that
says.
Because he would have to...
He killed no one.
Well, that's only if they give him credit because he was in the room when that like big execution squad was murdering the whole bar.
Plus, this, he killed Quaido. This is not accurate.
That doesn't sound accurate.
That's the
doesn't
only list
make
I
any
find.
Sense.
And then also Thumbelina killed 4 people.
That I believe.
I would believe, yeah.
So I have an interesting trivia fact. This movie was originally planned to have a sequel. It was originally planned to turn Minority Report, which was a short story by Philip Dick, who did the short story of Total Recall.
Okay.
This was Minority Report was supposed to be Total Recall 2, The Minority Report. The sequel would have taken place after the events of this film, and it was revealed that the events of the first film hadn't been a dream. Like, they haven't been a dream.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Quaid, who was going to be played by Arnold again, was now working for an elite law enforcement agency in which mutants from Mars use their psychic abilities to predict crimes before they are happening.
Oh.
The sequel stuck in development hell for 5 years until it was abandoned. It was later decided to turn the story into a standalone film, resulting in Minority Report.
Okay. Very interesting.
So it's pretty close to that, except for people from Mars.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. I've there's a lot of trivia with this one. I have a couple other ones too, unless you have
go ahead.
Some more. So when Ronald Shusett and Dan O'Bannon first started working on the screenplay in the 70s, they realized it was too expensive. It just wasn't going to work back then.
Uh-huh.
So they delayed it, and they instead worked on an idea that they had about a space monster terrorizing a spaceship crew that turned into Alien.
Wow.
Wow, they started working on this movie in the 70s?
They did.
Wow.
And there's another one. Originally, so Paul Verhoeven, before he made this movie, he made RoboCop. Originally, Arnold was going to play RoboCop, but they had problems with the costume because he's a gigantic monster.
Fitting him over his body.
So they dropped the idea. But after Schwarzenegger saw RoboCop, he wanted to work with Verhoeven.
Mm.
And then that's how they led to this.
Also, I haven't done RoboCop. RoboCop would be a good one.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's right.
Anything else?
That's all I got.
What would you rate this movie?
Oh, the rewatchable factor is always good. I mean,
seriously.
8.5, 9. Probably leaning closer to 9.
It's like a 10 for me, man.
I was going to
For an Arnold movie. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not Terminator 2. I get it. But like, all right, 9.
Yeah, I got to leave room for Terminator 1.
I really considered a 10 because it's like, what's the flaw in this movie? Like, what could be improved in this movie?
It's so entertaining.
I'll give it a 9.5 just because, you know, 10s are very rare. But it's 9.5, maybe a 10.
All right, I'll go 9. All right, we got fan questions. Omar, Five Nights at Freddy's is a piece of shit movie. How did it make so much money? It's literally the most boring dog shit movie. Go fuck yourself. Ooh. P.S. Bring back top 5 lists. Oh, that was Josh and I used to do that.
Yeah.
One Punch Man. This is a great film.
What are top 5 lists?
Josh and I used to do like a top 5 list
of
every
anything
week on the podcast. Like top 5 favorite actors.
Top 5 Arnold movies.
Oh, that sounds fun.
We used to do that. One Punch Man, this is a great film. I watched it so much as a kid. Where does this rank for you in terms of Schwarzenegger movies?
Top 5?
Well, I'm sure it's in the top 5.
I think it's easy to make a top 5.
First two Terminators.
But, right. This. Predator. And True Lies.
I mean, this is probably 4 or 5.
I really love Commando.
It's underrated. It's very, very good.
True Lies
is up there.
And I think, Total Recall, that's the top 5.
It's
Running Man, though.
Running Man's
I mean, it's
good.
So hard. You got to make a top 10. Really.
Running Man is really good, too.
There's like 8 or 9.
I would have to decide, really like, ones. Running Man or Commando, one of those.
Right.
Would have to, you know what I mean, to make my top 5.
I think this is 5 for me, but like, you know, it's a tight 5.
Yeah. Amir, what the fuck did they do wrong? One of the best Arnold lines of all time.
That's a good
I agree.
One. Yeah.
Dylan, what's Andrew, what's your favorite Arnold line from any of his movies to impersonate? It might be that.
Not get
what
to
the
chopper.
What did I do wrong? Oh, get to the chopper.
That's the first one. Come on.
Yeah. Who are you? Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? What about you guys?
I get to the chopper.
Yeah, it's too iconic. By the way, this has been my life for the last 15 years being friends with Andrews. I just get Arnold quotes all the time.
See, Arnold was like my first impression. Like, really. Like, I would do it in middle school, high school.
That was before Stone Cold?
I think before Stone Cold.
Wow.
Well, I had to get older. I don't know. That's true. Hmm. Tim, can we have a Thanksgiving movie review? I know it's a bad movie, but it's so funny bad. I'm all for that.
You have no idea. We know all about Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving. Have you only seen it once?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think just the one time.
Maybe we should do Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving week.
Oh my God.
I would love that.
I mean,
I have been thinking about it. I think, but like, it's really not a bit. I just don't know.
It seems like the weird, like, cult horror movies don't do as well.
Well, it's just, I mean, most people don't have no idea what the fuck that is.
Right.
But if I can convince our fans to watch it, like, just watch it. And then you guys like it, we'll do it. I don't know. We'll see. Rizzler, there was more double crossings in this movie than Big Show's career.
That's what I'm telling about. So many.
Good yeah. one.
PCJ, I remember being 10 years old, renting this on VHS in 1990 and being very confused by the chick with three tits.
So was I.
Also in 91, I wasted a weekend renting the shitty Nintendo game based on the movie Fuck, I'm Old.
Dude, oh,
the Nintendo game is terrible.
I remembered that game and I hated it. Wow. Yes.
Thank God.
Fuck that NES game.
I watched Angry Video Game Nerd play it and I was like, wow, this, what a piece of shit.
I was so mad at that game.
Back then, they would just make a video game,
yes,
and then slap the movie title on it, and it had nothing to do with the movie, like nothing. There was a Back to the Future game where all you do is it was like Paperboy, but with a skateboard, and it's like that's not the movie.
Marty yeah. McFly, you know, he skateboards everywhere. Yeah, that's fine.
He says, "What would be your picks if you could buy an adventure vacation at Recall?
Like Mars or Jupiter, Mars or Saturn? I think I'd pick Saturn."
Well, you don't even know.
Well, it's. I think the point, Josh, is you can pick anything.
Anything.
I mean, how do you not pick this? I mean, like, you're an action hero.
Sure.
You're lobotomized. You get a hot chick.
You're lobotomized.
Well, you're going to get lobotomized either way, Josh.
Oh.
Obviously, Recall, you know, they're not good at what they do.
I'd do time travel.
Time travel, yeah.
I'd go back in the past. I'd go back in the past and, like, watch awesome sports games and concerts and stuff.
Sure. So, Millionaire Playboy? That sounds good.
Yep.
Oh, Back to the Future too.
Carlos Ramirez, the opening scene and the open your mind, stomach face thing were the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
Push Fire Barry canceled movies. Nicolas Cage's Superman, Batgirl, 90s Fantastic Four.
That's funny. We were just talking about Batgirl.
Push Nick Cage Superman. Fire Batgirl because they already fucking fired it anyway.
The
90s Fantastic Four, you could actually watch it. Like, it's out there.
Is it?
Yes. They literally made that shitty movie just so they could keep the rights.
I think I watched it on VHS.
Should we watch that
when I was in high school?
It's garbage.
It's not good.
Yeah.
No.
So, there you go. That's all for fan questions. So, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you're watching or listening. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Hollywood Hog Pod. Become a supporter of the show at patreon.com/Hollywood Hogwash. Watch Loki with us, Invincible, yes. And then Echo in January.
We got some good shit coming up.
And we'll see you guys next week.